Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
I'm hoping that you dropped
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands. They're just
oh,
like
that's nice. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The next few days, 312-981-7200 is our phone number, also our text line. We were talking about remote starters earlier. Got a bunch of text messages here about remote starters. It was so cold, my remote start didn't even work. 708 area code. Does that happen with the remote starter?
I've never heard that happening.
847-630, what is the app for the remote starter?
Well, the app,
you have to buy the remote starter to get the app, right?
Well, the remote starter came with the car, and the app is provided by the dealer. It's provided by the manufacturer. So whatever model car, now you can
you
do
just
them.
Can't download an app and then start your car remotely. No, you no, have to
well,
have it on
but
your
you,
car.
But you can get the remote starter installed post factory.
Yes, I did that.
Right.
Afterwards, so. My husband had that was my one of my Christmas presents one year. Which
that's
was
nice.
Fantastic.
Mary starts her car with her garage door closed.
Yes, I do.
And then gets in 5 minutes
while
later.
While I'm in the bathroom getting dressed. And it works perfectly. I have it perfectly timed.
It is 6 below right now. That's the temperature, not the wind chill. 6 below. I mean, that's crazy. You can't go outside for more than 15 minutes without freezing.
Honestly, I think it was what night? Wednesday night last week. When the cold weather came in, I thought it felt colder because it was so windy and that cold wind. There's not much wind this morning. It's just cold.
Well, what happened over the weekend? We expected all the snow. You heard, get ready for Saturday. You're going to get 3 to 5 inches. Or Friday, 3 to 5. Saturday, yeah. 3 to 5. I didn't get that much living downtown.
We lucked out. It all moved north. The places like around Milwaukee and north got 8 to 10 to 12 inches of snow.
My
so
son
out.
Got nailed in Madison. Just
did he?
Nailed.
Oh, yeah. They got hit.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I think we got about 5 or 6 in the burbs.
That's
the western
what I got.
Burbs, yeah.
Okay. Maybe 3-4 inches downtown
it was
at
enough,
the most.
Enough it's... to shovel yesterday. And I shoveled yesterday morning and I wasn't cold at all.
Oh, I was out yesterday morning
bad.
At 7 a.m. I like to get it cleared
yeah.
right away. I could see a Dave Ennett doing that.
No.
Clearing?
No.
You're not
well,
waking
I
up
do.
Early?
I do, but not 7 a.m. yesterday.
I like to get out there before everybody else.
Wake
sit down afterwards.
Up.
I like to look out the front window and look at my walk. And
people
then
get mad on a Sunday morning when you do that because they're trying to sleep and you're
too
out
bad.
There.
That's too bad. It happens. You know, we do when you do the morning show, you like to take a nap in the afternoon. They're keeping us up, so it's the same thing. I figure
that's
it's payback, right.
Right?
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. I like that.
Frigid temperatures. That's what we're going to be following. And Wednesday, we're going to get back up to freezing. We're going to be back up to 32 degrees.
Wow. When's the last time you thought you would be really excited about 32 degrees?
I feel like no one's really paying attention to the weather this week because we're going to be running around last-minute gifts, last-minute items. When do you guys get the food for Christmas? When do you go out? Is that Thursday or Friday? You do that early in the week.
Ugh. Well, I haven't even baked yet, so I'm in big trouble. I got to get going. I got to do all my baking this week, and I'm not really cooking for Christmas. We're doing hors d'oeuvres this year because our family is so huge, like yours is.
Right.
So we're doing hors d'oeuvres, which is easier.
We got to have a main course.
We're not doing it. We can't. There's going to be like 60 people there. We're just not doing it.
Someone doesn't bring the turkey or the ham or whatever you have?
We used to do a sit-down thing, and now it's just too crazy. Bring if you have hors d'oeuvres. It works.
And it's not at our house. We're not doing it.
I'd start a riot if there was no food like that.
Well, yeah, you couldn't take it. You'd have to bring a bucket of chicken or something.
We go to my sister's in Naperville, and everybody brings something. But she always has one main dish. I think my mother makes it every year.
Well, your poor mom, she shouldn't be cooking the main dish
it's turkey.
Anymore.
Yeah, we have turkey on Christmas,
you
too.
You made her do Thanksgiving, too.
Well, she, my mother
Don't
enjoys
say
cooking.
She loves it.
She enjoys
no,
cooking. That's
go.
Her thing. That's her hobby. You know, we all have hobbies, right? I like to work out, play basketball. Dave, you know, you're a sports guy. My mother loves to cook. That's her thing. She'll watch cooking shows on TV, and she'll see a recipe, and she'll like, okay, I'm going to try to make that. So she'll try to perfect it and cook it over and over until
But maybe
she makes
for
it.
A few people, but not for an army of McMurrays all the time.
Yes, the army of McMurrays. The frigid cold we're following. Also, members of the Electoral College will meet in their state capitals at noon to vote today. Some of them requested to be briefed on the hacking first, but the request was denied. So at noon today, we'll probably hear some news about something going on with the Electoral College, and then we'll see what happens after that. Ha! 720 WGN, it's 620. It's cold outside. Is Paul Conrad ready to go? All right. Well, we're waiting for Paul. Okay. Talking about frigid temperatures, 312-981-7200. Our text line, 608 area code, regardless of what remote starter you have on your vehicle, if your battery is weak, the remote start will not start your car. Hmm. Okay, so that seems to make sense. Paul?
Pat. Pete.
How you doing, brother?
I got Pat Tomasulo on my brain. I'm good. Hold on 1 second.
All right, take your time. Show's over at 10 o'clock, buddy.
All right, hold on. Okay, I'm ready.
I think it's got to be tough to be a weather person in this weather because people want to get angry at you.
Well, I haven't gotten one hug today. And, you know, typically by now, I've gotten about four or five.
You know, it's got to be rough stuff because we wake up, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're in our cars. You're up at, what, 2:30?
I was up at 1:30 this morning. And what a beautiful time of the day that is.
God, is that painful.
Yeah, that's awful.
Jeez, I mean, there's nothing. Are you cursing in your car when you get in your car and drive on your way to work?
You know, I was not this morning for some reason. I'm not really sure what happened, but I was fine. You know, the other thing is there's a lot of people driving to a lot crappier jobs than I am at that time of the day. So
I feel
worse things, right?
I feel bad for the garbage collectors because Think about that. They have the snow on top of the garbage cans and this frigid cold.
Yeah, and there's always rats. Rats drive me crazy.
God, I don't understand. I saw a rat last night driving in the city.
Yeah.
What are they doing? They're running across the alley. I saw a small rat.
Don't they freeze in this weather?
You'd think so.
They're indestructible.
The rats never stop.
They got bad PR. If they just gave them a fluffy tail, it'd be fine, but it's a tail.
Then they would be squirrels.
Right. Squirrels, whoever did their PR when they got gone, man, they did it right.
What's going on at GN this week? Do you guys exchange gifts? How does that work?
We put a ban on the gift exchange because it was getting too provocative. Too many years in a row where someone's giving me the bra and panties, and I'm like, listen, I'm not wearing this. I don't care what you say. Typically coming from Baumgartner Potash. But so we've canned it this year. Now we're just going to sit and talk.
Stare at the TV?
Yeah.
Stare at the camera?
Simple. Yeah.
This is usually our gift-giving time, and we're just going to stare.
Right. And I've been pushing this thing where let's just say one thing nice to each other that is heartfelt. And you would think that I was, like, asking them to go run in front of a bus. They're like, no way. So, you know. It's not going to happen.
And Tomasulo can't do that.
No, there's a lot of sarcasm, a lot of bitterness. I think a lot of deep down, there's a lot of pain. And, you know, I think of Robin, you know, at this time of the year, keep her in your prayers, you know. She's an angry woman, as cute as can be. But at times, she's out of her mind.
I love the love-hate relationship on the WGN-TV morning news.
Things are good.
It's nice. I was watching on Friday when you had the kid. You have a kid in to do the weather.
Yeah, boy.
He had nothing. I mean, you're trying to pull stuff from them. It's all one-word answers.
Right. That's the hardest part. But they are adorable kids. I tell you, that is one of the more encouraging segments that we do because you do get to see these kids that you feel like, the kids, there's some really bright kids out there that are going in the right direction. We're filled with so much bad news that this is encouraging to see.
Well, there's some kids that get on there and they're nervous and they don't have anything to say, like
right.
Friday. So you're just kind of asking these questions, and then you stop and you look at the camera, which is very funny. You just kind of...
like, okay, I'm going to fill some time
here. We got 4 minutes to fill. I'm just going to stare.
Yeah. Hey, quick update. In Harvard, Illinois, you know, out in McHenry County, they've got a wind chill right now of 34 degrees below zero. So go Harvard!
So it's going to get better on Wednesday, right?
Starting tomorrow, it's going to get better. I think tomorrow will be in the low 30s. And then I think this warmer weather or more seasonable weather is going to stick around through the end of the year. I think we'll likely be void of these big Arctic air masses for the next 2 weeks after we get rid of it today. So there's good news there.
We're going to have a white Christmas?
I think so. I don't think enough of this will melt. I think we should have white snow around here probably through at least Christmas Day. There's a slight chance we get a little snow Wednesday night into Thursday morning. I don't think anything that really looks to accumulate. But on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, there's a system coming through. It could be a mixture of rain-snow. We'll see how that plays out. But that one has potential to accumulate a little bit. But right now, looking more like that mixture that will not be great.
Will you say hello to my neighbor, Pat Tomasulo, for me?
I will.
Because I never see him ever.
I will definitely give him your best.
All right.
All right. Good talking to you.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care.
Paul Conrad, WGN-TV. Swear to God, I never, ever see Pat in the neighborhood.
How close do you guys live?
We live maybe a block away from each other. He lives right around the corner. I've seen him one time walking his dog in the last 6 months.
He probably disguises himself, don't you think?
No, why?
I don't know.
He's a sports guy on the WGN-TV morning news.
People would bother him.
Do you ever see him over at GN? Well, you're there at night. But...
No, you know what? I usually, sometimes I sit at his desk, but I never see him. Every once in a while, Pat and I will cross paths, but not often.
I will text
him.
He's
at the other end. I mean, I'm here and he's at TV
right
this time of day, so we don't really.
I will text him and say, hey, I'm walking my dog, Wrigley, in the neighborhood. Let's meet up for coffee or something. Nothing. He's one of those guys that'll text like 5 hours later. Oh, yeah, I just saw this. Yeah, we'll get together soon. It'll be nice.
And you text me. Don't I respond immediately? Except yesterday. Yesterday I was updating my phone.
Yes, you do.
Normally I do.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dave. That's nice. Did I text you during the Bear game? I hope I didn't. No, it was after the game.
I think it was, but I didn't see it because, here's the other thing. I was DVRing the game, so I didn't look at my phone until after I had watched the game.
Gotcha.
Because we were out doing some shopping, and so I wanted to see the game start to finish, so I didn't want to know what was happening.
Are you one of those guys that starts it late so you can fast forward through the commercials?
I did fast forward through the commercials. I don't always do that, but other things going on this time of year.
Smart.
You could whip through that game in an hour and 15 minutes.
I went through it pretty quickly.
Awesome.
Yes, but I'm getting text messages from my brothers, so I can't. Your phone's always going to be...
That's why you put your phone down. That's what I did.
I know. That's rough stuff. All right, it's 626, 720 WGN.
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh. Pink stuff in my eye and I need you now.
Let's talk to our good friend, Dr. Kevin Most, is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Kev, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Pete. How about you? Staying warm?
Ah, geez, man. That was a shocker when you got in your car this morning, let me tell you.
Sure was.
It's the cold and flu season, especially now, man. I mean, it's just crazy. And when you go to the grocery stores, you see these immune packets.
Yeah.
Do these work? Because people that buy the immune packets are usually... sick, right?
Yeah. So I'll tell you two things there. One, when you go to the grocery store and you want to keep yourself healthy, I wouldn't rush to the immune packets. The first thing I would do is take that wipe that they provide right at the front and wipe off the cart that you're going to use. Because that will do more to protect you from getting sick than the immune packet that you're going to buy.
If you can find them, because half the time they're out.
That's a good point.
I just wear gloves. Just keep my gloves on.
You keep your gloves on the whole time?
Sometimes. It's cold in there anyway.
My wife, I brought it in today. My wife takes the Emergen-C, the Immune Plus.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen these powder packets?
Absolutely.
Do they work?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, Pete. A lot of people do them. They do Airborne. They do Emergen-C. They do a lot of these that they say, and it's great marketing by the companies. Take this. It tastes good. It'll keep you healthy. And what we find is that it's actually, and you look at it and you go, my, look at all these vitamins that are in here. Look at all these things that are going to help me. The body has a system of doing what it needs with vitamins. So Linus Pauling thought, take as much vitamin C as you possibly can, and you will stay healthy. That's the basis for a lot of these products that you're seeing. Unfortunately, numerous studies have shown that you take a lot of these vitamins, all it's really going to do is get filtered by your kidneys. The body's only going to keep what it needs, and it really doesn't add a whole bunch to you. Someone that doesn't follow a very good diet, this might be pretty helpful.
What about vitamin D? I thought you were supposed to take vitamin D, especially now during the wintertime. You're supposed to take vitamin D over 1,000 milligrams a day.
Absolutely. 100%. And Pete, you hit on probably the most important one. During the spring, summer, and fall, we make enough vitamin D by our skin being exposed to sunlight. We have chemicals in our bodies from our diet that actually produce vitamin D when they are hit by UV light. Well, during the winter, we don't get enough sunlight. Days like today where you go to work and it's dark, you come home and it's dark, we don't get exposed to it. And you really can't get enough vitamin D in your diet. Even though we've fortified milk since 1920, everyone should be taking a vitamin D supplement this time of the year.
So 4,000 this time of the year? What do you think?
Yeah, I take between 2,000 and 4,000. You know, I do the vitamin D, the little gel caps. They're 2,000. Some days I'll take two. Some days I'll take one. And people say, you know, why do we really need vitamin D? My bones are already developed. But really, vitamin D protects us from heart disease, from osteoporosis. So people who are older who have bone issues should definitely be taking it. And it's actually been shown to improve your chances of not getting breast cancer or prostate cancer. So it's a great vitamin to take. 2,000 to 4,000 a day is plenty.
I went to a doctor.
And really only need it during the summer, or during the wintertime.
I went to a doctor 4 years ago, had my blood work done because I have high cholesterol. I work out all the time and I still have high cholesterol.
Yep.
And I wanted to see what was going on with my blood. And she said I was dangerously low on two things. Number one, vitamin D.
Yep.
And number two, iodine. I was tired all the time and couldn't figure it out. And she gave me iodine supplements, and it's helped. I take them
right
every day.
So the vitamin D, now that is a great test for doctors to do because a lot of people are just like you, Pete. We don't take enough in our diet. We aren't outside enough, so we get depleted in it. Vitamin D is stored in our body when we have an excess of it. But when we don't have enough, we get depleted. And your doctor probably put you on some pretty high, she probably put you on 50,000 units for a while to get that back up so where your body has it back stored to a level.
Yep.
Iodine is very important for us. For our thyroid gland, which is our energy box, essentially, for the body. So combination of those two, you can explain. And then actually, hopefully, you feel much better after you corrected those two.
I mean, it was terrible. It was 1 p.m. I'd be driving, and I couldn't keep my eyes open. I'd have to pull over.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah, and vitamin D as well, even, you know, vitamin D, getting it decreases your chance of depression as well. In depression, we have sleepiness and tiredness and feeling of blah. So the combination of those two, you had a bad run there for two bad things today.
I mean, that's rough stuff, being depressed and low on vitamin D. So D is better than C. You need to take D every day, not vitamin C.
No. Vitamin C, you know, we probably get enough of it in our diet if you eat properly. And any excess vitamin C, you're not storing it. It's what we call a water-soluble vitamin. So it's filtered through your kidneys and eliminated. Where vitamin D, you're not getting enough in your diet unless you're drinking gallons of milk every day, eating salmon, you know, getting those foods that have some vitamin D. But none of us do that. So we have to.
Well, Dave Ennett does.
That's true.
Besides Dave. Yes.
I try.
981-7200, 312-981-7200. Getting text messages now. What about echinacea? Echinacea. I take echinacea every single day.
Yeah, so a lot of the herbs, you know, the herb supplements, they're fine to take, and sometimes a lot of them are going to be shown to help people, St. John's Wort, echinacea. But also be kind of careful because some of them interact with medications. So you want to make sure that you don't have a drug interaction from another medication you're taking, whether it be for your heart, a blood thinner, or cholesterol.
I'm a 55-year-old woman, and I take 5,000 milligrams of vitamin D every day. Is that too much?
Well, it's not going to be too much. You know, it's probably good to take that amount during the winter, but during the summer, you don't need it. So you're essentially wasting your money because if you're outside, your body is going to make plenty of vitamin D to maintain as well as to store some additional vitamin D for those days that you don't get out. So I really say 2,000, 4,000. If she really wants to take it because of the chance of osteoporosis and wants to keep her bones strong, she can drop down to 2,000 and she would be just fine.
Does this weaken your bones, taking too much vitamin D?
It doesn't weaken your bones. Vitamin D is necessary for us to absorb calcium. So when we take calcium in, if we don't have vitamin D, we don't absorb it well. And if we don't absorb it well, then it's not placed in the bones. So we really want to make sure that we have the right vitamin D to maintain our calcium because, believe it or not, we all think our bones are stable. They actually turn over that calcium. So we want to make sure we continue to replenish it so we don't get osteoporosis.
Do you believe in vitamins, Doc? Because a lot of doctors don't.
I do. I personally do. I take a multivitamin every day. And people say, well, why? You can get enough in your diet. Unfortunately, we all should realize that our diets are not perfect. We live in a very stressful world right now. And really, when you stop and look at what you eat, do you really get enough? If you're Dave Bennett and you're eating kale and you're eating healthy, Dave probably does not need a vitamin. But a lot of us, a good multivitamin is going to keep us, is going to be exactly what we need to stay healthy.
All right. Dr. Kevin Most on the line. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, now, despite whatever, however healthy I might be, I have a cold. So went to the store yesterday to try to figure out what to take. And it's kind of in my head, and it just sort of had that drip going, Doc. And so here's my issue. I don't want to take something that's going to keep me wired so I can't sleep, which is what I ended up doing last night. But I don't want to take, like, NyQuil, which will zonk me out. So
right.
I say, how do you know you're taking something that's not going to keep you up, or it's not going to leave you feeling drowsy the next day?
Yeah, Dave, unfortunately for you, you have one problem, and that is that you travel as much as you do. And when you get on airplanes, you're talking about what I call the daycare of adults, where you'll sit next to somebody, they're coughing, they're hacking, they're sneezing, and it's one time in your life you can't get up and move. You are going to get exposed to more and more viruses every, you know, all season now until basketball's over. So what can you do? Really know what we call, what a lot of the medicines are, we call them garbage can. They throw everything in there in the hopes that one of the medications is going to take care of the one symptom you have versus being more selective. So for you, like you said, NyQuil. Look what's in NyQuil. Tylenol's in NyQuil. Alcohol's, there's a lot of ingredients in NyQuil. They're going to make you fall asleep. But if you really say, hey, you know what? My problem is the runny, drippy nose. Okay, then you're going to want antihistamine. You're going to want something that's going to try to slow down that runny, drippy nose. If other people say, oh, my God, my head feels like it's going to explode, that's the person that needs something like Mucinex, which is an expectorant, which is going to loosen this up. You're going to cough more. You're going to blow your nose more, but that's going to be gone. So really, you need to look at your symptoms and take the medication that's specific for the symptom that's concerning you.
I love taking NyQuil.
Okay.
I love taking NyQuil.
But when you have to get up for the morning show, that's
rough.
Rough
stuff.
It's
but the crazy dreams. Anybody else have crazy dreams like me when you take NyQuil?
No.
I mean,
I don't
just
take it
off the charts
anymore.
Crazy. Dr. Kevin Most is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Doc, hold on a second. We're going to talk more about colds and lack of sleep and caffeine, okay?
You got it.
WGN, Dr. Kevin Most on the phone with us. We're talking about colds. Doc, can you catch a cold walking out in the cold?
Well, your mom told you that, didn't she?
Don't go outside with wet hair. My 11-year-old son, Charlie, always has wet hair. I'm like, put on a hat, man. We don't want you to catch a cold.
Yeah.
Because my mother said that to me.
Right. Did she ever say that in the middle of the summer?
No, she never did. Huh. But it wasn't cold. It's always warm.
Correct. So it's kind of amazing that the cold and the temperature is not going to cause you, obviously, to get a cold. Colds are caused by viruses, and we get exposed to more viruses during cold and flu season, and therefore, wearing the hat is not going to protect you. If you wear the hat and someone sneezes in your face, I don't care whether your hair is dry or what, you're still going to get that cold. So it probably makes sense from a comfort point of view, but it certainly won't protect you from getting a cold.
So should we have the sanitizer with us at all times?
You know, this time of the year, kind of be careful about it. It's a good idea. You go into a public area. The grocery stores are probably the most common one where you're going to grab a shopping cart that someone has just used. A little kid has sat there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And cleaning your desk and cleaning your area, especially if you share it with others. Those are probably the biggest ones. You can't protect it. And there's so many people that are going to touch areas. Doorknobs are very classic for it. Because viruses will unfortunately live on material for, you know, 6, 8, 12 hours in some cases.
Well, Mary wears her gloves into the grocery store, but what if you take your glove and you scratch your face? The germs are on the glove, right?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. The biggest thing is going from your hand to your face, and that's how we get sick.
Don't pick your nose. Don't put your fingers in your ears. That's how you stay healthy.
Correct.
That's how you do it. 708 area code. Why does it always seem the doctor never gets sick, even though they're always exposed to sickness? How come doctors don't get sick?
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone asked me, they said, when's the last time you took antibiotics? And I had to stop and think, and it's been over 20 years since I've taken an antibiotic. And yet I see sick people, you know, when I see patients all the time. if you notice, the most important thing with a doctor, what he does is as soon as he walks in the room, he's going to wash his hands. That's reassuring for you to make sure that he's not bringing anything to you. But I can tell you, as soon as he's done seeing you, he washes his hands. It just shows you the importance of it. The other thing you'll also notice that we kind of stand to the side. When someone's going to cough, we're not right in front of you. We know where to stand and we know what to look for. But the most important thing is obviously hand washing.
Right. So people cough into their hands. They need to cough into their elbow.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And doctors have been exposed to so much through their training in that their immune system is kicked up a little bit as well.
How about lack of sleep this time of year? People are running around. There's more parties, lots more caffeine. How much is too much caffeine?
Yeah, well, it's interesting when we talk about caffeine, because how much is too much? Do you really need caffeine? You really don't. There's a lot of people who are on totally caffeine-free diets and don't take in any caffeine. But it's the one socially acceptable stimulant that we have. 300 milligrams of caffeine a day is about what the average is here. And we know that there are good things about caffeine. You know, it's a stimulant. It increases our brain function, increases our metabolism. There's bad things. Insomnia is one of them. But do we really need that much? No. I'd say the biggest concern these days with caffeine is the energy drinks. We got to be really careful because there's high amounts of caffeine in those.
I thought the 5-hour energy shot was a cup and a half of coffee.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
So you get 100 milligrams or 125 milligrams of caffeine, and it is going to work for 5 hours. That's the one big thing that we need people to understand is that caffeine in some people can last 6-8 hours. Is it too much? It can be a little stress on the heart. It's going to make you a little hyper, but there really isn't going to be a problem with it. It's been proven that it hasn't had many huge side effects in people.
And what is it with Red Bull? I can drink pop at night, but if I have a Red Bull, I can't get quality sleep. I'm waking up throughout the night.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how much caffeine is in Red Bull, but you look at Monster, you look at some of these other, and they're well north of 100, 120 milligrams, so that's in that one quick shot there. So Red Bull is probably going to be right up there. I haven't even looked at that to see how much caffeine is in Red Bull.
So the moral of the story is not too much caffeine. Make sure you wash your hands and put a hat on if you have wet hair.
Yeah, and take caffeine at the right times. If it's going to be your go-to stimulant in the morning versus a Diet Coke, which I would strongly recommend, because caffeine actually protects us from mouth cancer, protects us from some other cancers as well. So caffeine in a coffee form is fine.
I didn't know that.
I'm not kidding when I say this. My mother's had 12 children, and she weighs about 115 pounds, maybe 110 pounds. She drinks 6 cups of coffee a day, easily. Yeah. She always has coffee in her hands.
It's amazing the people that can have regular coffee at 10 o'clock at night and still go to sleep.
Oh, she'll pour herself a cup of coffee, watch the weather, and fall right to sleep. That was the big joke. Weather puts my mother to sleep, 10 o'clock weather. Nice. Dr. Kevin Most, thanks, Doc. Merry Christmas. Great to talk to you.
Same to you, Pete. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
And Dr. Kevin Most, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better at 720 WGN.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on the one-horse open sleigh.
7:15, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We have 6 days until Christmas, 5 days left to get something delivered in studio with us from ABC News and WGN Radio's Ryan Burrow. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I was just telling Mary during the break yesterday after the Bears game, my wife told me, all right, I need you to get out of the house, take the kids. I need you to go grocery shopping. I need you to pick up the Christmas cards at Walgreens. And I need you to get stamps. I did two of those things. I accidentally forgot to get the stamps. And
now my wife
will have to take the two kids who are off school to go get stamps on what is the busiest shipping day of the year. This is more people are going to be hitting USPS.com. More people are going to be going into the post office. More people are going to be going to FedEx than any other day this holiday season today. So I left that on her. My apologies.
So today's the day. So if you mail something regular mail, it's bound to arrive by Saturday.
First class today, you're still fine. First class shipping tomorrow, you're pushing it. Tomorrow's the deadline. That's when USPS says you got to get this thing in the mail if you're going to mail it first class. Anything beyond tomorrow, if you're going Wednesday or further out, you're going to have to look Wednesday priority or Thursday or even up to the 23rd priority express, which all of a sudden, ka-ching, ka-ching, starts costing you some cash.
I feel like United States Postal Service has been out in droves. We have three people working in our neighborhood. Is that?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that in your neighborhoods?
They've added 35,000 employees. Yesterday, I had a delivery during the Bears game.
I had a delivery, too, on Sundays.
Yeah, yeah. They've been doing that. It's a Sunday delivery in this month leading up to Christmas. And I believe, actually, Christmas Day, they'll also have some people spinning out there if there's still some last-second packages that need to get delivered. But, yeah, busy day for them and busy day for their website, too. 7 million people expected to hit the website to either buy postage or look up, addresses, things of that nature.
The post office is just going to be super packed today.
Sure.
What are the biggest problems people make? Return address, things like that?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Wrong paperwork?
Not having the stamps on there, the right postage. That's another big problem. You just throw some stamps on there, you think you're good, and then you realize, well, wait a minute, you needed to weigh this thing, or maybe it's being it's shaped oddly, and you know, that sort of postage doesn't work. So that's one of the really big issues, is just people not having the right postage.
And you have to have it taped right, too.
Have a
little crack,
sure.
They will, like, you need more tape.
Oh, and I always get
stuck. What do you mean you have to have it taped right?
When you send a package.
Yeah, you can't just give them a box and say, here you go.
And, if you don't have a lot of the postage tape on there, and I was mailing something the other day, and it was an old box, and it had a crack, and I had to put more tape. And I was like, that takes time. Or when you're sending something to Canada, and you didn't fill out the domestic,
that's right.
Slip.
Canadians celebrate Christmas too, don't they?
Exactly. And it costs.
Who are you sending gifts to in Canada, Mary?
My sister lives in Canada. You know how much it costs to mail something to Canada? It's unbelievable. A simple little box would cost like $20. I just spent like $20-some to mail. And it was just a couple of Christmas, a shirt and whatever. It's ridiculous.
That's brutal.
Canada's
The holiday, the perfectly square holiday Christmas cards that people are sending out need extra postage. My wife didn't know that.
Really?
She
sent
out 15 of those regular stamp.
And that's the issue that hopefully my wife doesn't have that issue today, because we've got the long ones from Walgreens. So hopefully that's not a problem. But yeah, I mean, anything that's weird shaped, a lot of people try to get in boxes that are shaped kind of strange. The nice thing is they do have these automated services. A lot of people don't like to go to them because they think that they're either too slow or maybe even the line's long there too. But there are a lot of steps and a lot of questions when you're going through that process. How long is it? Does it fit in this box? And you just got to stay on top, because unfortunately you don't want to slow everyone else down as well, right?
Well, how much is a stamp now? 41, 42? How many?
41, remember?
People don't even pay attention anymore,
do they?
The stamps
actually went down in price. Do you remember that? Earlier this year, because it was like a 2-cent increase had expired, that was approved, had expired. And so they allowed it, the stamp price, to go back down again. So it's a little bit cheaper. We'll see. They're expecting to do 16 billion pieces of mail. We know that the U.S. Postal Service has been hit up on hard times in the last decade or so, right? I mean, they've really, really been struggling with business. But they let the stamp price decrease. We know they're doing 16 billion packages, 30 million packages a day leading up to Christmas. So they've got a lot of business coming in, and we'll see kind of when everything shakes out, the new year starts, we'll see what their budget looks like, and we'll see if maybe they're doing better. Who knows?
And don't forget them with the tips over the holidays too, your mail carrier.
Sure. All three of them that show up to your house during the next couple days.
Yeah, my guy Smitty, too, who smokes these long cigarettes. Hey, Pete, how you doing? Pretty good, Smitty.
All right.
Ryan Burrow, thank you, buddy.
Take care.
Thanks for coming in. So if you're headed to the post office today, long lines, make sure you fill out the proper paperwork and have the right postage. Okay.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack.
312-981-7200. We have a pair of Blackhawk tickets to give away for tomorrow night's game against Ottawa. That is tomorrow night's game, and you'll be entered to win 4 season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. 312-981-7200. Dave Ennett.
We have another edition of our Hawker Riddle.
Hawker Riddle.
Hawker Riddle.
Who comes up with these names? The Hawker Riddle.
I don't know who came up with the Hawker Riddle.
I like
because
it.
Because I had already trademarked both Hawkopedia and the Hawktionary. So, how do you want to do this? Because I'm going to give the clue, and then you want the... It's usually the 700th caller, the correct answer.
700th?
Yeah. So, make Bennett sweat a little bit.
He's sweating right now. All right. I Just go ahead and read it.
Or you could go seventh caller if you want.
Let's do seventh caller, answer. Bennett. Yes. Okay. Seventh caller.
All right. Here is the Hawker riddle for today. I'm 15.8 from the north to south long. They even wrote me a three-letter song. The beach and I both have a path that's the same. 41's not my age. In GPS, it's my name.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Do you think you know?
I think I got it on the third line, but go ahead. Mm-hmm. Say it again.
Okay. I'm 15.8 from the north to south long.
Okay.
They even wrote me a three-letter song. The beach and I both have a path that's the same. 41's not my age. In GPS, it's my name.
That's good.
If I don't know that, I should be fired.
I like that.
I was going to say, Mary, you ought to know.
Pair of tickets, tomorrow night's game. The Hawks on a roll right now. They've won four in a row. Is that right?
They've won five in a row, five six out row. Of seven. They have the best record in the entire National Hockey League.
They look good. All right. 312-981-7200. We're grabbing a caller right now. Blackhawks at the UC taking on Ottawa. All right. Let's go to James. James.
Hi.
What is the answer?
It's Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive, Dave.
Ding, 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 ding.
That is correct.
Awesome.
15.8 from the north to south long. I never knew.
Yeah, the song gave it to me.
Three-letter song, LSD, The Beach and I. The Beach and I both have a path that's the same. 41's not my age, and GPS, it's my name. 41.
Yep. Got bonus it. Points. Who did the song?
Drawing a blank on that.
Wasn't Aliota Haynes?
Aliota Haynes and Jeremiah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a one-hit wonder?
Oh, yes.
It's a big. Well, it might have been, but it was.
That
a
was
big,
their only hit.
Big hit, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was their only hit, right? Do you know any other songs by Aliota Haynes
don't.
And Jeremiah? I think two of them are dead, or at least one is dead. Buddy, hold on. You're going to see the Hawks take on Ottawa tomorrow
you just
night.
Just put a damper on it, Mr. Buzzkill.
And you're entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Man, that's a great package. You go see the Hawks, and you could win four tickets, four season tickets for next year.
Yep.
Boy, that's a nice little package. All right, it's 727 at 720 WGN.
An animal!
Dan Hampton. Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
He's a Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer. He's my partner on Fox Kickoff Sunday next to Lou Kanellis. It's number 99, Dan Hampton. Hamp!
DD, how are you?
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Good morning, buddy. You know, the last 25 years at Soldier Field, the Packers are 20-5.
And let me think back. What have the Packers brought to Soldier Field that we don't have?
Quarterback.
That's a quarterback. By
an
the name
offense.
Of Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good combination. And once again, and you know, I got to tell you, I was listening to the game call of our old buddy Jeff Joniak, and after the big play at the end of the game, vintage Rodgers, vintage Nelson. How about, well, vintage Fox, vintage losers.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like the whole thing was set up just to gut punch us at the end. And of course, John Fox, you know, the bungler in chief, he mismanaged the clock down the stretch of the last 90 seconds, enabling the Packers, you know, not only ample time and opportunity, but hey, if you don't think they're good enough to do it, they've done it to a lot of other people too.
Well, before we talk about the last play or one of the last plays with Jordy Nelson, that bomb, let's talk about the Bears. Should they have gone for it on fourth down or could kick the field goal? Because Dave and I talked about this earlier. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, and I've often said this, you know, you are who you are, and if you think you can do it, do it. Well, obviously, John Fox doesn't think we can do it. I think we are 31st in the league on fourth down conversion rate. Now, fourth down conversion rate is tough enough out on the 50 or the 40. Well, when you get down in the compression of the goal line, it obviously increases. Now, I you know, you could throw stats out, teams that go through, you know, go forward on fourth and three or whatever. and it's not very good. But here's the overarching, you know, thought. If you don't convert it, it's over. Well,
yeah.
If you kick, you know, a chip shot field goal, you can live to fight again. The Packers could fumble the kickoff. Aaron Rodgers could throw a pick six. We just had one a week ago. All these. Well, if you don't convert it, and you know, I didn't have a problem with them, you know, basically going ahead and saying, "Hey, we're gonna play for overtime." Well, you can't botch and bungle the time management and give them all that time. You should have took the 10-second runoff. Should have run a play and run the clock down. All these different things.
Right.
And again, you in the autopsy of a close loss like that. I mean, every play is the ball game, and we just frittered away any opportunity we had to really be in control. We basically deferred and allowed Aaron Rodgers to dictate what we were going to do and how we're going to lose.
You know, case in point, Hamp, if you look at the Philadelphia-Baltimore game yesterday, Philadelphia put a late drive together, right?
Used the last
2 minutes, scored with 4 seconds to go. They're down by one. They went for two and missed and lost by one. But had they tied the game, then they're in overtime. It's over. If they kick the point, they know they're in overtime. Now, the difference, they were on the road. The Bears were at home.
Absolutely. And my old rule of thumb is when you're on the road, you go for it. Hey, you know, you throw it against the wall, see what sticks. At home, you play percentages. You get the home field, the home crowd, all those different things. I don't have a problem with Fox, you know, kicking the field goal. The problem was the 58 and a half minutes of stuff before that contributed to the point where, you know, we were in that position. You know, kudos to the offense coming out in the fourth quarter and in a never say die attitude that this kid Matt Barkley has brought, you know, from the hinterlands where, you know, he was cut by Arizona. He was, you know, looking at, you know, virtually a bleak career in the NFL, and then due to the injuries, he has now been given an opportunity where he has not only embraced the stage, but you could say he played as well as Marcus Mariota. 3 weeks ago, he outplayed Kaepernick, he outplayed Stafford. In my estimation, he outplayed Aaron Rodgers. When you look at the sum total of the players around him, I mean, he's throwing the ball to somebody named Deontay Thompson. Who the – nobody ever heard of him? Hey.
We don't know these receivers.
We know who Davante Adams is. We, you know, hey, and for what this kid was able to do, score 17 points in the fourth quarter, there's a lot of stuff about that I really like. The grit and tenacity, all those things. But you know what? I mean – How can we give up 162 yards to somebody that used to play wide receiver and all these different things? You know, I've been beating the drum that this team has gotten so how should I put it? We have been duped because certain position coaches have not been able to hold up their end of the bargain. And,
yep.
You know, I've been talking about the stances of the defensive linemen. And a lot of people go, oh, who cares? You know, it's like how you push your shopping cart. It really doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. And you know what? We have continually kind of been, what should I say? The defense has lost its integrity,
yep.
Because the defensive linemen are getting turned on these run blocks. And when your defensive linemen get turned, then you allow the jump through, the linebackers start having to guess, and undercut blocks, all these different things creating, you know, bad run fits. And the next thing you know, a smart team like the Packers is going to take advantage of it with a nobody, nothing back that you know, they throw up 200 and what was it, 60 yards of rushing on us. So there's a lot of reasons why, you know, we're proud of the comeback, but unfortunately, a good team would have never been in that position.
Right. You got to put pressure on the quarterback. We're talking with Dan Hampton, Hall of Famer. Now, I coach defense for my 11-year-old son, Charlie McMurray's flag football team. And if we're up by a few points at the end of the game, we have one rule. And every kid who is 11 years old knows this rule. Don't let anyone behind you. Now, if my sixth grader, Charlie McMurray, 11 years old, he knows that rule, and we talked about it yesterday. We're all watching the game as a family together. If he knows that, how come the Bears can't get this right?
It's crazy. You know, and you know, I remember on occasion last year, Vic Fangio, who, you know, it's hard to pick at him. He's done an amazing job, and we like him a lot. But the one thing, do you remember last year where he had this crazy defense where he would put four guys across the end zone and then a bunch of linebackers 30 yards, you know, down the field? Mm-hmm. And it was bizarre. Well, at least that would have given us a chance of you know, making a play on a deep ball. And for Cravon LeBlanc, who – hey, we applaud this kid. He's fought and he's earned the right to be a starter and all those things. Hey, that's a tough gig covering Jordy Nelson one-on-one. I don't know, and we'll find out over the course of the next day or two why the safety, whoever it was, and I'm guessing it was Amos that jumped one of the short crossing routes. Well, as you said, the 11-year-olds in the stands know. Forget the crossing route. It's Jordy Nelson on a post that's yes. going to get you beat. And why and how they allow that, it's just perplexing to me. And, you know, and again, there's a lot of reasons to say, wow, you know, this last month of the season, I have had a lot my interest renewed and it's kind of got me anticipating, you know, how they're going to play the next week. And I've kind of re-engaged because the team looks like they're really caring now. Where was this effort in September? Where was this intensity and commitment in October?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly why John Fox was run out of Denver, because John Elway said, I ain't going to do your job and mine too.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
I'm not going to get into the blame game. You know, I think you know, our guys fought hard. We had an opportunity to win a game and came up short, and it's happened quite a few times here of late.
I think we've seen progression every week, and this, again, it's just really a matter of execution for four quarters. And if we've been so close in a number of games now for the last couple of weeks, and we're still shooting ourselves in the foot.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. On the phone with us, number 99 Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Vic Fangio, our defensive coordinator, has used 13 defensive backs this season, 9 of them rookies or second-year players. That's a crazy stat right there.
Yeah, especially when you look at the fact that in our division, we've got to play Aaron Rodgers twice and Matt Stafford twice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, essentially, we have watched this defense, and Vic Fangio talked about it this week. He said, when I got here, I virtually had nothing. No usable parts or pieces. And over the course of, you know, almost 2 years now, he has built this thing. I think they were 7th in overall defense. So a top third defense, essentially, from thin air. And so you got to give Ryan Pace a lot of credit. You got to give Vic Fangio a lot of credit. But Ed Donatell is the defensive back coach, and he has done an amazing job. Now, remember, you know, this young kid, Bosby, they cut him a week ago and then re-signed him to the practice squad because they are constantly churning that secondary, looking for the right pieces and parts. And we know that we've got to get more turnovers. Adrian Amos has started, what, almost 30 games as a starter at free safety, and he still has yet to come up with an interception. So a lot of that is, you know, it's a level of comfort where you feel like you can make breaks on the ball. You don't have to play safe. You can be more instinctive. But the other part of it is we've had some good pressure, some good rushes. Pernell McPhee had his best game of the year.
Yep.
And last week, early in the game against the Lions, Pernell McPhee drew two holding calls that changed the whole way the Detroit offense approached that football game. But all that being said, we have not had enough of the kind of pressure that forces errant throws for easy picks. So, you know, those defensive backs, I know it's a work in progress. But, you know, this kid, Cravon LeBlanc, he came out of nowhere, and he has done a pretty darn good job. And, you know, Tracy Porter hasn't had his best year, but they are not the reason why the Bears are losing games.
All right, well, let's look at the offense real quick, Hamp. And we talked last week about Matt Barkley. Obviously, he had a couple of moments he'd like to have back yesterday. One of them apparently was the wrong route by the receiver on the interception, but still he brought him back in the fourth quarter, and he continues to show every week. I think he's showing the ability to play at this level. Why did it take so long, though, to get the ball to Alshon Jeffrey?
Early in the game, the Packers, realizing he was obviously the most gifted of the wide receivers, they were playing a little bit of an over-the-top box with Alshon, and in essence, it was looking like a double team. And one of the reasons why I like this kid Barkley is he doesn't waste time. He goes through the progression. He doesn't hang up. He's not looking at the first guy too long or the second. He goes bang, bang, bang. And when he looks and he sees the safety over the top and commits to whatever route Alshon's running, well, he goes right on. And so he was not in a position to throw the ball to Alshon because he's not going to force the ball, and that's a great thing. He makes decisions and he commits. Later in the game, some of the other receivers like Cam and Thompson were starting to hurt the Packers, so they came off of that, and essentially were playing a pretty soft zone, and that's why Alshon was able to get the ball in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of part of the bigger piece of the puzzle, which is here. Alshon was essentially a no-show for a month with the suspension for PEDs, and then he was virtually a non-factor in the game for three quarters due to the fact that the Packers were trying to double him, and he doesn't seem to have the ability to present and break away and separate when he is being doubled. So, there's a lot about that Ryan Pace and this, whichever coaching staff we have over the offseason, they're going to have to evaluate just what the value is to a player that can basically disappear for essentially 5 weeks in a row, and what do you got to show for it?
Right. It's so frustrating. We have the Redskins' last home game Saturday on Christmas Eve. Sunday is Christmas Day. Does a Dan Hampton go to Carson Peary Scott and shop for his wife, Gina Marie? Are you doing the actual shopping, Dan?
That's need to know information.
What about little Dan? How old is
little
he now?
Dan, hey, he's going to get coal in his stocking. He hasn't been so great this year. He's causing me some gray hair. But let me just tell you about the Redskins. Here we go, another team, the third in a row now that we've got to play that, is fighting for a playoff spot. I remember last year we were saying, we're going to beat the Redskins. I was standing on the sidelines, and Kirk Cousins puts together a 13-play masterpiece touchdown drive right down the field. So if we think, the Redskins aren't all that and a bag of chips, trust me, they're going to come in here loaded for bear, no pun intended, and let's see if we can't find a way to win. As you know, John Fox now has a record of 9 wins, 21 losses. That's not too far away from Gus Bradley land.
It's so upsetting. It really is. And yeah. The only bright spot, Jordan Howard this season.
Well, Jordan Howard and Barkley.
Okay.
I think he's a bright spot.
Hey, guys, think about this. Matt Barkley throws for more passing yards than any quarterback in Bear history against the Green Bay Packers. We only gave up one sack, and that was the strip sack for Julius Peppers. But all of that being said, I mean, there's a lot of parts to this team that I think a really good coach, a smart coach, a competent coach would say, hey, I can take this team, make a tweak it a little bit, and hey, we're off to the races. So, again, I'm proud of the way the guys on the team are not accepting this this failure of a year. They're trying to do something about it. Albeit the last 2 weeks, we've been undone by holding calls. But hey, they're bearing down, and that's all we can ask at this point.
Hamp, Merry Christmas. I'll see you on Fox this weekend. Okay.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Dan Hampton is driven by ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:11, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The 8 o'clock hour is powered by Wintrust Community Banks from WGN-TV. It's our old buddy, Dean Richards. Dean, good morning.
Hello, darling.
When Zsa passed away yesterday,
I immediately... You know I was leading to that?
I immediately...
How do you know I just don't want to call you darling?
Because I watched WGN last night, and that was your lead story. Zsa, besides Moulin Rouge, which... You know, most people don't. I mean, if you're older, you remember that.
And not the Nicole Kidman, Ewan McGregor Moulin Rouge.
Right.
This was like 1953 with, I don't even remember who, Jason Robards, I think.
Maybe. I love me a Jason Robards.
Something. It was really her only lead role. And
yeah, what is she famous for? That's my point.
She is famous for being beautiful. She's okay. Famous for being, she was a model. She was in tons of supporting roles, B-roles in movies, and I think she's just kind of most famous for being a personality. She would go on, you know, she was a staple on all the talk shows back in the day, really all the way up to Letterman. David Letterman loved having her on, you know, she would come on and kind of make fun of herself and make fun of her accent and make fun. You know, she had 9 husbands. She always.
Yeah, Conrad Hilton. That kind of made her famous,
the
too.
Oh, crazy
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Paris Hilton on Twitter this morning is reacting. She posted something because Conrad Hilton was Paris Hilton's great grandfather. And Paris Hilton said, sad to hear the news of Zsa Zsa Gabor's passing. My great-grandfather and her made a beautiful couple. May she rest in peace. And they were, I mean, this was probably like in the mid-50s, something like that. Sharp looking, like Don Draper looking, you know, classic, handsome beauty, you know, kind of pairing. But she'd go on these shows and, you know, she was a personality. She was
very funny.
A lot of people were compare her to the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of famous for being famous. It's a little bit of the case, I guess you might say. But she was funny. She was very witty. She would go on. I remember one in particular. She was on a show, talk show, and said that she's great at housekeeping. When she drops a husband, she keeps the house. That's funny. That's funny, darling.
Slapping a Beverly Hills police officer back in the day?
Back in the late 80s. But the police officer pulls her over for a minor traffic violation. She gets out of the car, claims that the police officer called her names and vulgar names and smacked the guy right in the face and was arrested. They put her in jail immediately for that. So that's one of her more recent claims to fame, want to go back 30 years.
And how old was she, 99?
She was 99 years old.
Well, that's a great run.
99 years old. She was, really, this should be the lead line in her obituary this morning. She was the final villain on the Batman TV series.
Was she?
Final villain on this.
With Adam West?
With Adam West.
Who did she play?
And Burt Ward.
Yeah, who was she?
She played Minerva, who ran a glamorous spa where wealthy men would go for treatment. And she did this treatment. I think it was called a brain extraction. These wealthy men would go to her. And it looked like a hairdryer. And she would extract secrets out of the brains of wealthy men.
Holy brain extraction.
Right. And Batman and Robin knew something was up, so they show up.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, citizen. We'd like a treatment.
Citizen?
Adam West called everybody citizen.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so that was 1968, episode 120.
She was on
episode 120, if you're keeping track, on the Dan Ryan.
If you keep a track.
This morning.
That's how slow things are for us today. We had time to look that up today. She made, you know, we do guest appearances on show, a little cameo. She was on Gilligan's Island. She played a famous socialite she was looking for a deserted island to build a casino and resort. So she happened to land on the Gilligan's Island to build her resort. So, you know, it was a colorful and often mistaken for her sister, Ava,
yep,
who starred on Green Acres. Zsa Zsa Gabor was not the one who was on Green Acres. That was her younger sister, Ava Gabor, who died quite a few years ago.
Was there three Gabor sisters?
There were, yes, there were three. I think Magda was the third one.
Okay.
Or Magda may have been the mother.
Mary shaking her head like, yes.
I just read the obituary. I'm trying to remember
is that right?
What her name was. I'll look it up.
Zeppo.
Curly.
I thought there was Jolie.
Jolie?
J-O-L-I-E.
I thought there were, I'm trying to look it up now myself, but I thought there were three sisters and the mother who
Well, they're all dead, so regardless. God bless them.
Man, you're killing everybody off this morning.
I mean,
thanks for the compassion.
I do have to be honest. When I read it yesterday, I thought to myself, "Oh my God! I thought she died 5 years ago."
Well, she had been sick for a very long time.
Yes,
she had a leg amputated.
Yep.
She had had the cause of death was heart failure. She'd had heart trouble years ago as well. But she was in and out of the hospital, and this her latest husband. Just an odd character. He would take pictures of her in her hospital bed, no makeup, just, you know, looking emaciated, and release the pictures.
I do remember that.
They're all over the web. I mean, if you want to look them, I'm not using any of them on TV today. I think it's a little bit disrespectful, but
yes.
It's weird. It's very weird. She was married to the guy who helped design and create the Barbie doll. If being the last villain on Batman's not enough for
if
you.
If that's not enough.
Yeah.
There it is.
She was married to Conrad Hilton.
Uh-huh.
She was married to a guy who was a Turkish diplomat. She was married to, let me see who else here, an investor, industrialist, Hunter, Herbert Huttner, the Barbie doll dude, Michael O'Hara, who was just a lawyer, just a plain old lawyer, and this Frederick Prince von Anhalt.
Okay. Dave, you have something?
He was the last one.
Well, just to confirm, Jolie, J-O-L-I-E, was her mother. Magda was other sister.
Yes.
Got you.
She was married to the last one for a long time.
Who knew there was so much Zsa Zsa Gabor information on this Monday morning?
She had limited movement over the last 20 years, so she couldn't really divorce the last one that much.
Star Wars opened over the weekend.
Darling, take me out of the bed.
We will talk box office in Denzel Washington coming up next with Dean. But first,
want to hear another quote real quick? Zsa Zsa Gabor said, "I've learned that diamonds are not a girl's best friend. Divorce lawyers are." No, seriously.
Nice.
More with Dean in a
Another
second.
Touching obituary on the Steve Cochran Show.
That's nice.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Dean Richards from WGN-TV on the line with us. Dean, box office over the weekend, Star Wars. Was it a huge opening for them?
What, did it? Did that open already? Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, $155 million over the weekend. Yes, it was an enormous, enormous success. They were expecting it to make about $130 million, so it exceeded domestic expectations. Worldwide, they were thinking it might make $300 million, and it came in at about $290 million. So either way, it's ridiculously successful and probably will be for the next couple of weeks, despite the fact that over the next few days there are going to be about eight new movies that are opening this coming Wednesday and then again on Christmas Day itself. Moana came in second. Office Christmas Party, without a doubt, one of the worst movies of the year. For some reason, people are
really
going to see. I guess people just want to have some laughs at, you know, at the movies. I personally don't think this delivers. I saw a much funnier movie yesterday in Los Angeles. Why Him? With Bryan Cranston and James Franco.
Really?
Megan Mullally.
I see the trailer on TV all the time.
Really funny. That one is really, really funny. In fact, Wednesday, when I'm filling in on Steve's show, we're going to share my interview with Megan Mullally. Hilarious, and some really good inside scoop about a possible redo of Will and Grace. Got a lot of details.
I loved her on Will and Grace.
On that.
She was so good.
Collateral Beauty came in number 4. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is number 5 right now. So a lot of good small movies to go see.
What about La La Land?
It's fantastic. It's only in 200 theaters around the country right now. That's why it's not in the scoring big. It's considered sort of an art film right now, an indie. My guess is this one could possibly wind up being the Academy Award winning movie of the year.
I know you love this movie. I heard you talking about it with Steve. Yeah, La La Land. But
it's amazing.
I'm not a musical guy.
It's, well, I mean, there is...
I love Ryan Gosling, love Emma Stone.
It's a good story, and the music I don't think is as intrusive as it's not like they're talking and then suddenly bang a song breaks out.
It's my biggest fear.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you're going to see Music Man or Oklahoma or, you know, something like that. The music is subtly woven into the story and makes such sense with the context of the story itself. So it's a little bit different in that way. You might like this one, but that one's great. Moonlight is great. Although, you know, a little on the sad side, not as sad as Manchester by the Sea, that even its star Casey Affleck was joking about when he hosted SNL over the weekend. It is there are some elements to that movie that are very sad, but it's so well done.
You love that movie. I can't wait to see it.
I talked to somebody who fell asleep during that movie.
No way.
Yeah, really. Could you fall asleep during that movie?
No way. I could fall asleep through Music Man or Oklahoma on the right day, but it's such an interesting and compelling and touching, mostly just really, really touching story. I didn't think it was boring or dragged out at all. You want to fall asleep during something, there's almost 3-hour Martin Scorsese movie that's coming out after January 1st called Silence, that if you are having insomnia, having trouble sleeping, highly recommend that you go see that movie. I guarantee your insomnia.
Why does he do 3-hour movies? It drives me crazy.
And here's the titillating subject matter. It's about Christian monks in Japan in the 1800s.
My mother lives in Peoria, 2.5 hours. I can't even drive 2.5 hours without stopping.
That's right.
3-hour movies.
Yeah, with a lot of Gregorian chanting and
my
monks.
God.
Monks.
That sounds brutal.
Yeah, so I'll tell you more about that when we get closer.
That is brutal. And Sing, the animated movie, opens on Wednesday. We're going to go see that.
Right. That one, I haven't seen that. I'm going to see that tonight. That looks fantastic.
Can we talk about that tomorrow or no?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, sure.
Okay, I just want a quick review.
All the Hollywood executives are on break right now. They don't really care if I break the embargoes on things right now. It's all opening this week anyway, but we can definitely chat about that tomorrow. There's this new Denzel Washington movie, by the way. He was on 60 Minutes last night talking about his new movie, Fences. Fans of the Goodman Theater very well know this play and the plays of its playwright, August Wilson, one of the most prolific playwrights ever in the history of literature and theater. It's a great play about an African-American family growing up in Pittsburgh and this sort of irascible father who just finds fault in everything. It's very compelling. It's a touching story.
Plays a garbage man, right?
He plays a garbage man in the 1950s who, just can't seem to get ahead of anything. It's just like the world is against him, but he just sort of hates everything. He just sort of is against everything. You know, Jackie Robinson is breaking color barriers back then. It's like, Jackie Robinson ain't nothing. This one ain't nothing. That one ain't nothing. That's what this character is about. Interestingly, even though it's about an African-American family, very relatable. You will see people that you know and family members and friends and people you grew up with in this movie. One of the sons works at the AMP grocery store, which I did in high school and college. So
sure, the stamps, right?
I'm simply Plaid stamps, exactly right. I'm giving the movie, you know, just because you don't hear about AMP enough. So I'm going to give it a good review just based on that. But over the weekend, I was in L.A. We talked with a bunch of A-listers, including Denzel Washington, who talked with us about the movie. But we also talked about diversity in Hollywood, which was such an issue last year.
How do you think this year has fared with the Oscar diversity issue? Have we done better this year?
If it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. There's more opportunity, more channels, more. So there's more opportunity than surely than it was when I started. We have to keep pressing, you know, but you have to deliver. Just to say diversity and just to say, oh, this is a reaction to what happened last year, I think is a disservice. We were already going to be here before what happened last year. At the same time, it's not bad that it happened this year. We're here at the right time.
Yeah. You know, a Christmas release, people are going to go, you know, being seen this. What's Christmas like for you? Nice big family.
Yeah,
you must
it's
have
great.
Some really nice. And, you know, Christmas is around traditions of food generally. Hmm. And I'm wondering, are you a cook at all? do you have a specialty at Christmas time that you like to whip up?
Yes, it starts with an E and ends with a G. It's called eating. That's my specialty. And I'm good at it.
You're good at it.
Oh, I'm a professional. I've been practicing a long time.
Get a cooking show for something like that.
I don't, you know, I know my place.
Denzel Washington, always fun to talk to. We've got the full interview that's going up on the web. And his movie Fences will open on Christmas Day. A lot of movies to talk about this week.
If it ain't on the stage, it ain't on the page.
Right?
Yes.
I think it's actually the other way around.
If it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. Got it. All right. Dean tomorrow.
But it's also true the way you said it.
Right. I'm going to have to go through that during commercials. Dean Richards, WGN. Dean, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
One more Zsa Zsa Gabor.
No more Zsa Zsa.
All right, I'm going to pace them out. I'm going to spread them out during the week. I don't want to give you everything
Can't
right
wait.
Now.
More Zsa Zsa tomorrow with Dean Richards. Thank you, Dean.
Bye.
I worked at Google for almost 4 years. Thank you. Appreciate that. I actually got fired because I wouldn't sleep with Sergey. Now, that's not true. I would have totally slept with Sergey. I read one of those articles online that said you should follow your dreams and quit your job. So I quit my job. But then I realized that those articles are written by people that want your job.
WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Something that a lot of people know about me is I hate meetings. I have the attention span of a gnat. I think all meetings are too long. They all should be 15, maybe 20 minutes at the most. So I'm the guy that needs help to look engaged and smart in meetings. If you're like me, this book is for you. It's called 100 Tricks to Appear Smart in Meetings. On the phone with us, comedian Sarah Cooper. Sarah, thank you, first of all, for a book like this.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
What's worse, body language, bad body language, or bad facial expressions in meetings?
I think body language, people like tapping their finger on the table or like, you know, tapping their feet, like, is probably more distracting than the facial expressions, but they're both pretty bad.
You give us tricks to use in meetings right when you walk in, when you're in the meeting, what to do, what to say. When you walk into a meeting, let's say it's a conference room meeting, what do you do first of all?
The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out who's leading the meeting, and I'm going to sit next to that person because then it'll look like I'm co-leading the meeting. And when people are presenting stuff to the person who's leading the meeting, it'll look like they're presenting it to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can kind of pretend to be, you know, sort of conferring with that person, even if they're a VP who I never talk to. So that's the first thing I'm going to do. That usually takes a lot of the pressure off because then you can just sit there agreeing with the person who's leading the meeting and no one's really going to disagree with that person. So you kind of automatically look smart when you do that.
By the way, genius, you know, yeah. Act like you're co-hosting the meeting. I love that.
Yeah. Works like a charm.
Yes. And so you're as people are asking questions, are you nodding your head? What's your facial expressions in these meetings?
Yeah, you want to be nodding and pretending to take notes. A lot of times people think, oh, you have to come in with your laptop and your phone, which is fine, but But if you come in and you sort of like just have a notebook and a pen, it looks like you're rejecting technology, which means that you're sort of better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of just, you know, look around and be nodding and sort of pretending to take notes.
That's
the best thing to do.
I've been in meetings where if people see your phone, they immediately think you're not paying attention to meetings.
Which you probably are on Facebook. I mean, that's probably what you're doing. So that's exactly right. You don't want to be caught doing that.
But I make the announcement, hey, just to let you know, I'm taking notes with my phone. I don't want you to think that I'm going through Facebook. So you have to make that announcement. Do you put that in your book? You should.
That's a good one because that's a really good one, actually, because it completely deflects the fact that that's probably exactly what you're doing is not paying attention. But if you're going to be on your laptop, sit in the back of the room so no one can see your screen.
Okay. I like that. How about eye contact? Because usually when you're called into a long meeting, you don't want to make eye contact because you don't want to be engaged because you want to get out of the meeting as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, eye contact is pretty important because you need to know when a question's being asked. Because if someone's saying, "Hey, when is this going to be done?" you need to be able to look around the room to the person who might have the answer to that question. Because then you'll look like you're kind of following the conversation. The only time when eye contact isn't that important is if you're sort of leaning back in your chair, like, you know, with your head in your hands, sort of looking like you're kind of really thinking about something very deeply. You might even close your eyes and people will just think that you're kind of lost in thought. So that could be a way to get away with not actually looking at people. Another great one is just to pace around the room. I remember when a VP got up from the table and just started pacing back and forth. I was freaking out, wondering what he was thinking. Like, is he pissed off? Is he going to cancel this project? I wasn't sure, but I knew that my respect for him went through the roof, and he was definitely not looking at anyone, so you can definitely get away with that, too.
Well, that would seem weird if you're in a meeting and suddenly you get up and just walk around the room.
Yes, but it makes people nervous, which makes them respect you more.
I love this. More with Sarah Cooper in just a second. Where can people get this book? This is a great stocking stuffer, by the way.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You can get it in a local bookstore. Pretty much anywhere books are sold, you can get it.
Here's an idea, conservation.
I love it, conservation. Let's start by conserving our time and stop having these stupid meetings. No more meetings! No more meetings! No more meetings! No more meetings!
I agree 100%. 720 WGN, 100 Tricks to Appear Smart in Meetings is the name of the book. Comedian Sarah Cooper on the phone with us. You have something in your book that caught my eye right away when I saw your book. Ask the presenter to go back a slide.
Yeah.
Because if you do this, you appear smart and engaged.
Yes, very much so, because you immediately look like you caught something on that slide that everyone else missed. And so all of your coworkers are going to just sit there and fascinated with what you're going to brilliantly point out. But then you don't need to point anything out. You can just kind of look really, really closely at the slide and then say, okay, we can move on.
Now, you worked at Google, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would think that meetings at Google would be fun.
We try to make them as fun as possible, but, you know, when you have a lot of these meetings are kind of weekly or biweekly, and they're sort of status meetings and staff meetings and things like that, they just have a tendency to get pretty predictable. And so I think the drudgery of it is kind of unavoidable sometimes.
I worked at a radio station that we had a meeting every single day after the show. It was 60 to 90 minutes every single day. And for a guy like me that can't sit still and doesn't like meetings, it was brutal every single day.
Wow. What did you guys talk about?
Exactly. I mean, it was just rough stuff. Sarah, I'm telling you, it was just crazy. Mary, I don't feel like there's that many meetings here at WGN.
I don't know. It seems like, salespeople have a big meeting on Mondays, I think, but there's always food there.
Right.
And then the morning show meeting we usually have on Monday, Pete. Are you going to have one?
Well, I'm only here 2 days this week.
It just drives me crazy.
Maybe they're having meetings and not inviting you guys.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, that's the love-hate relationship with meetings. It's like, I don't want to be at this meeting, but if I don't get invited, then well, maybe I'm not as important as I need to be or something like that.
And you also have facial expressions. You have pages with facial expressions in your book, which are so important in meetings.
Yes. I mean, it's part of the whole emotional intelligence and knowing exactly what emotion to be sharing at the right time. And I always got caught looking just confused. And so in the middle of a meeting, someone would look over at me and go, Sarah, you look really confused, which isn't a good look if you want to look like you know what's going on. And so I created some faces you can make in a meeting. My favorite one is just bring a salad, and then when it looks like someone's about to ask you a question, just take a bite of the salad, and then you can't answer the question.
Oh, man.
That is a great idea.
How do you avoid crossing your eyes and rolling your eyes? That's two things I always do.
You just can't do it.
I can't control it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could roll your eyes if maybe the other smart person in the meeting is rolling their eyes, but if you're rolling your eyes at your boss, it's probably not a good thing.
I worked with a woman that had the ability to ask a question that was just stated. So let's say the boss stated a fact, and she would ask the question that was already answered before she asked it.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
that's not good.
I mean, that's genius, though, because it seems like she's paying attention, but she already knows the answer. Even though she's asking the question, the boss can reinforce what he just said.
Yes. And then it makes the boss feel good.
Right.
Yes, that's smart.
Or it makes you look like you're not listening.
Well, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. It always worked for her, though.
Yeah. Well, one of the tricks in here is just to look at the smartest person in the room, and whatever they say, just repeat it, because then people might think that you're the actual one who came up with that idea.
And you put something in your book about, you know, we all have conference calls. I feel like I have one a week. So conference calls, make sure that you ask a question during the conference call so people know that you're paying attention.
Yes, because people can't see you. So you need to kind of subtly remind them that you're there. So at the beginning of the meeting, asking, you know, if everyone's here and, you know, calling people out by name and just making it seem like you're really concerned with making sure the right people are on the call. And you know, doing things like, you know, asking everyone who isn't talking to put themselves on mute is just a great one that makes you look like a real leader because you're taking charge of the sound situation. One of the ones that my coworkers used to do with me is send instant messages to me while we were on a conference call. Mm-hmm. So it made it look like they were really good at multitasking. They were both like on their laptops talking to me and also contributing to the meeting at the same time. And so that's a good one too.
God, I love it. 100 tricks to appear smart in meetings. Sarah Cooper. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Coming up, we're going to join CLTV at 9 o'clock, and the 8 o'clock hour again is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
Gibbs, I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing.
9/11, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran as we're live on CLTV and WGN Radio. Once a month, Chef John Hogan teams up with local guest chefs to collaborate and present an ever-changing special 5-course menu with wine pairings. In studio with us is John Hogan from River Roast. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And you want to introduce your guest right here?
My compadre over there is Tony Mantuano, chef partner at Spiaggia Bartoma and River Roast as well.
Tony, thanks for coming in.
Hey, I made it. I'm happy.
He did. Tony just walked in 5 seconds ago. John, tell me about this.
So we feature local chefs, and we call it our Neighborhood Chef Series. So once a month, we'll bring a chef from somewhere in the vicinity of the Chicago area and do a collaborative dinner and just have some fun, let our hair down, and get together with friends and colleagues.
In different type of industries, people don't get along. Do chefs get along, or are you trying to bring them together?
In Chicago, chefs get along really well.
They do?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very tight-knit community.
Okay.
And it's, I think it's indicative to what Chicago is all about. We're that's the kind of people we are.
And so you call up these chefs and say, hey, we're going to do this week. So you called up Tony and said, Tony, you ready to go?
Yeah, he's always ready.
Yeah.
Tony, what do you got tonight?
So John and I mean, River Roast is known for its roast chicken, best roast chicken in the city, in the country maybe. I've had roast chicken all over. And one of the keys is that we cook those chickens to order, and they're super crispy. And like a whole chicken cooked to order in a restaurant's a rare occasion because it takes a little while to cook. But
it's usually dry.
It's usually dry.
Yeah,
but I
you got to slow cook it.
Yeah,
it's opposite.
We do the high heat, lots of moisture, and in 25 minutes the chicken's done. It's beautiful, crispy, and it's carved at your table.
You're kidding?
No,
you got to give me that recipe.
You need an oven.
You got to pay about 35 Jesus for the oven, and then you're
all set. See, that's the key. I just have a normal oven like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, the oven is the key. I mean, and it's a great quality bird as well.
Yeah.
How do you guys come up with the five courses? Do you sit around, you say, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this, or you just, what do you do?
I think that's pretty much what we do. I think usually there's tequila involved, and from there, you know, we have fun. This is a fun part of our life, of chef's life, is being creative and doing these collaborative dinners. We have fun.
Really? Okay. I mean, Chicago is just known for food, so if people are going to show up for a five-course dinner, it's got to be great.
It is, and it will be. And John's doing the first two courses, and then I'm going to bring some gnocchi over from Spiaggia and shave some truffles on it. And then we're going to do a roast chicken for the last course, but we're going to use these incredible chickens called Green Circle chickens. And these chickens eat food scraps from Michelin-starred restaurants in New York. Unbelievable.
Really?
You can't make this stuff up, and they're so delicious.
Do you bring something from Bartoma? Maybe a flatbread? Some coffee? What do you got?
Not today.
Okay. And now, John, how'd you come up with this idea, and how long's it been going?
We started a couple of months ago, and the idea came from something I did about 20 years ago in a former restaurant in a former life.
Okay.
And it's just a good way to introduce our guests to maybe chefs from local neighborhoods that they're not familiar with, as well as introducing their guests to River Roast. And that's the beauty of it.
Well, it seems like a win-win for everybody because you're introducing, number one, restaurants to people and chefs to people. And it seems like in Chicago, people know chefs more than most cities, I would say.
I think you're right. I think Chicago is, at this point, maybe the best food city in the country. And due to whatever it may be, social media, TV networks, food channels, mm-hmm. and print media.
I think also, John, the fact that the James Beard Awards are here in Chicago, that sort of justifies our place in the country's, you know, food community, I think. Restaurant community, chef community. So, yeah.
And I feel like I have an 11-year-old who watches Food Network all the time. I mean, that's the new MTV, is kids watching the Food Network. It's crazy, and they want to cook right away.
Talk them out of it.
Yeah, talk them out of it. As you can. Ask them, first of all, if they want to work every Saturday night and every holiday when everyone else is off, then it's good.
How about they learn to cook at home? My wife can't make anything. She can't cook to save her life, nor does she want to.
My wife's the same. She cleans up well, though.
She does.
I'm the same way. I'll bake anything. That's great. But cooking, it's just a certain thing. You have to be so creative. My brain is dead by the time, you know, nighttime comes. I don't want to be creative. I just want to eat.
We need good dishwashers. You know
yes,
what I mean?
I'm like, good at that.
We're only good to cook, and then we don't clean up that.
I think guys are better cooks in a way. I really do. Most chefs are most chefs men?
Yeah,
there's quite a few women in the industry that have excelled well, especially here in Chicago. There's a handful.
Women are probably going to shoot me right now saying that, but I just agree.
When did you guys start cooking? Tony, when did you start?
Jeez, that's a long
time
ago.
When did you get interested? Before college, in college, after college?
Well, I was a music major in college, but I grew up in an Italian family, and food was a big part.
There's always somebody cooking.
There's always, every holiday, it was grandma's house. And yeah, I mean, that's when it started, but I didn't really start cooking professionally until later, while I was in college. Yeah.
Okay. John, how about you?
Born to cook.
Really?
Yeah.
You've done it your whole life?
Since I was a child.
You have a
literally.
Tattoo that says born to cook?
I have no tattoos. No tattoos, no piercings.
On the small of his back, born to cook.
Something.
Hold it up for the cameras. We're on CLTV. Can you do that?
Yeah, something just clicked at a very young age. I'd cook it at my house with my mother. My godmother used to buy me, like, food gift boxes from Marshall Fields, you know, when I was 4, 5, 6 years old.
Really?
making pancakes in the morning.
And his other love is the blues. So one of the things we do at River Roast is we have live blues on Saturday and Sunday brunch. And a lot of times this guy gets up and sings with the blues musicians.
Really? How Chicago can you be? You got the mustache, the glasses, you know, and now you sing the blues.
And that was something I really gained a love for at a very young age as well. I mean, my dad was a big jazz fan, so he turned me on to Louis Armstrong, Count Basie, things like that.
Sure.
And then so it sparked that love of music. And probably in my very early teens, I became a blues freak, you know.
Nice. What is your go-to dish? If your family comes over, they want you to make one thing. What is it?
Oh, boy. Well, Christmas morning, we'll have really soft scrambled eggs and caviar. That's kind of a...
Soft scrambled eggs. Explain that to me.
Yeah.
What is soft scrambled eggs?
Soft scrambled eggs, you do over a double boiler, actually. You put them in a...
See, it's too much work already.
And you cook them really
very
slow.
Very sprouting right now.
And they're beautiful shards of these soft scrambled eggs and finish them with butter and chives and then a little caviar and champagne for breakfast.
I wouldn't even know where to buy caviar. Where do you... Can you get that at the Jewel?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of quality they have, but there's something called the internet now, actually.
You got a guy? You drive out to the airport?
I got a guy.
You got a guy?
Gotta have a guy.
What's your go-to song when you're singing at River Roast?
Do you sing while you cook?
I do. Wow. Definitely.
See, you can have your own show.
Why are you asking me this stuff?
Singing cook.
Yeah.
Tony, how about you? What's your go-to?
Usually pasta.
Okay.
I mean, I think pasta is something that I was born to make. And we have fun with it. I mean, a lot of people make mistakes cooking pasta, and so...
like what?
I like
overcooked, undercooked?
They always overcook it. They don't marry the sauce with the pasta. Like, you know, cook it less than the box says and then add it to your sauce and then finish cooking it for a couple of minutes and all comes together.
See, I didn't know that. I just put it together at the table.
Yeah, no. You gotta do the marriage ceremony.
I like it al dente,
though.
What
does that mean, marry the sauce? I don't even know what that means.
Well.
It's basically cooking it less than the box says, draining it. And then adding it to the sauce and then finish the cooking in the sauce.
Okay.
And that's, you know, the pasta absorbs the sauce.
So you put the pasta in the sauce?
After you cook it.
Okay, you don't put it, it's separated from me.
Yeah, well.
On the table.
How about when you go to serve it and there's like water on the platter of pasta still? Like, I mean, it's always, you need to marry it.
But yeah. One of Tony's things he's taught me 25 years ago is you also finish that sauce with a little bit of the pasta water.
Yeah.
And that starch in the water kind of makes everything cohesive.
That's true. He learned well.
Yeah. That's good
but
to know.
But I call them noodles.
Noodles. Say the N-word, John.
Yes.
Pasta.
So the five-course meal, can you tell me about it real quick?
Yep.
What's in the five courses?
Well, it's actually six because we're going to pass some hors d'oeuvres at River Roast as well.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be doing a scallop crudo, a raw diver scallop. With a little chili sauce with coconut. It's kind of a Peruvian spin on something that I kind of saw years ago. And then we're going to do fluke, which is a winter flounder with a crab crust. Tony's going to go in and do his gnocchi with truffle, which is just two simple ingredients, but just sings
fantastic.
Sings like nobody else. And then we're doing these green circle chickens.
Why is it when you talk about food, it's like sex talk, isn't it? It's like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable.
Well, food is a big part of life.
And it really is.
Sex is a big part of some of our lives, I guess.
Some of our lives. If people want more information, where can they go?
RiverRoseChicago.com.
Okay.
Also, give
me your cell number, too.
We got Tony. We're both on.
They can
go
to the website. No, you don't want to do that. We're on TV, too.
Tony's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm also on Instagram and as well as Facebook because I have a lot of young kids. So.
Okay. And, John, they're going to see you at River Roast. Tony, are they going to see you at all three restaurants, Spaggia, Bartolomeo, and River Roast?
Any given day, I'll be at one of them.
I love it. Tony and John, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank
it's good to see you guys.
Us. It was great. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, it's 720 WGN. Seven twenty WGN 925 Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran as we're live on CLTV and WGNRadio.com. Thanks to John Hogan and Tony Mantovano.
You got it.
He was talking about Christmas morning, how they do the soft scrambled eggs and the caviar. Do you guys do something special on Christmas morning? Christmas was always a big deal. Always. Either steak or lobster. And then Christmas morning, my brother Steve, who is now a dentist, it was a big deal for Steve to make pancakes with bacon inside.
Oh.
They put yummy. Bacon inside.
It's yummy.
Sounds good. We usually kind of eat big on Christmas Eve, so it's like Christmas morning, not too hungry.
Well, you're opening some gifts. Well, mm-hmm. you don't have any little kids at home, but still, you wake up, don't you yeah. want, you know, you got to celebrate.
Oh, sure.
You're not eating anything.
I'll have some oatmeal.
Dave.
Why am I asking Dave?
Yeah.
If you were in a little granola Mary? And yogurt, oh. maybe.
Man, we go at it. We have a big egg casserole.
The egg casserole, sure.
Yes, I'm not sure what we're making this year. We usually change up the casseroles. And my brother makes this homemade raisin bread that's my grandma's old recipe that we, with cinnamon in it. Mm-hmm. Really awesome. And coffee cake. And we always like do our stockings first, then we eat, then we open presents. Because the kids have gotten older now, so,
right.
you know, they have to come from far away to the house or whatever. So.
Sure.
Yeah, but they're hungry. They're always hungry.
I never understood the stocking because you put gifts in the stocking too. Do you
stocking
fill it
stuffers.
With? Do you fill it with oranges and apples to kind of fill
no.
it? My mother used to do that because we didn't have enough gifts.
You know, my dad was telling me yesterday, and yesterday was his 93rd birthday. Happy birthday, Dad! But he
it's
was
fantastic.
Telling me that his stocking, they didn't have much money, and but his grandmother, my grandmother, would always put something in the stocking.
To
and
fill
it was like a tangerine.
Yes.
Yeah.
My
mother they got oranges nuts. Because oranges were a big deal in the winter.
Right.
You know, in Europe, my grandparents told us that, too. They got an orange.
That was a Depression-era thing, I bet, because any type of fruit, and my mother used to put walnuts in there, anything to fill the stocking.
That's what it was, tangerine and nuts.
That's crazy.
Well. You know what I do now? I put stockings in the stockings. I always buy the kids. I do. I buy them a pair of socks.
God.
The boys always need socks.
Every year.
You know, every
underwear
year.
And socks for my
yep,
mother.
There
it's
you
like,
go.
Can you get me something else? Thanks, Ma. Appreciate it. That's nice. Yes. Maybe I'll make pancakes with some bacon this year for Christmas morning. God, I love bacon.
That sounds good.
Yes, it does. All right. It's 928. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Jesse, those sleigh bells jingling, ring, tingle, tingling too.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. That time of year. What do you do with family in town, friends, your kids are home for the holidays? What do you do? How about head over to the Willis Tower? The Sky Deck in studio with us, the general manager of Sky Deck Chicago. It's Randy Stancic. Randy, great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, the ledge, people can go to skydeck.com, and the ledge is how high in the air? How many stories?
We're 103 stories, 1,353 feet off the ground.
Okay.
Clear view all the way down to Wacker, Chicago River.
And if people have never been, you can walk out in this little plexiglass area. And it's always that first step when you get out into the plexiglass. The entire thing is surrounded with plexiglass. So it's like you're walking on air.
Yeah, we hid the handrails. We made it as scary as possible. We hid the structural steel. It's only an inch and a half thick of glass. Really, the whole thing behind it was to be the experience. It doesn't move. It's not like a roller coaster. You get to the top, and it's a bad idea. It's two steps on, two steps off. But I've been on it thousands of times.
Right.
My knees still buckle. It's not a natural experience. It's really playing with your mind. But it is the memory, and that's what we're after.
We're longtime friends. I've been up there many times. That first step, when you walk out there, it's rough because it's like, you know, you're 110 stories up and it's like you're walking out into nothing.
We designed it that way. We designed it to make you really think about it. You know, most of us, our parents didn't raise us to walk off of skyscrapers, you know, do the daring things. Mm-hmm. Really, it's two steps on, two steps off. It's when you sit down or when you lay on your belly to get kind of the Superman feel. That's when it's a whole different level because you can't get off quite as quickly. But again, it's totally safe. It's designed structurally. It was a year in engineering, 6 months in construction. But we don't want our guests to see that. We want them to hesitate. We want them to have that, you know, that feeling of
who's
awe.
The tester though? When you are constructing this, you're at the Willis Tower.
You do it. No, you do it.
Why don't you walk out there and test it out?
Yeah, I think I was number six to go out on it. I wasn't in a hurry to be number one, but actually we had a lot of iron workers, and for guys to do this, and if anybody knows any iron workers, it's a different mentality. These are the guys that tend to work on top of the antennas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the rooftops, the bridges. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they were numbers 1 through 5.
And they're all still with us today?
As far as I know.
How many pounds can it hold?
It's 10,000 pounds, so it's a 5-ton limit. More weight than we can ever put on it. We did get a call saying, hey, can I bring a baby elephant up and test it? I'm like, first of all, why would we want to do that? Secondly, where would you get a baby elephant? But, you know, we're up after.
Can I bring a baby elephant to the Willis Tower?
It's kind of fun because we get a lot of odd calls like that come in. A lot of people still think that we're the Sears Roebuck Company, and the lawnmower that's broken, all the way up to the elephant odd calls. It kind of makes the day, though.
Well, you always see the person that walks on there, takes that first step, and then they jump up and down like it's going to move.
Mm-hmm. It's exhilarating to do that, but it's not going anywhere. But we don't want to take that thrill away from them.
Does it get old for you seeing these people walk out for the first time? Because you're there every single day.
You know, it really doesn't. It reminds me what we're all about. It's about giving the experiences, memories, what you led with this segment with. What can you do to kind of make that memory? It's pretty neat. We did zero market research for the project. So for us which is an entirely different story. We don't
zero
have time
market
for.
Research.
Zero market research.
Hey, I got this great idea. We don't need any research.
It's kind of how it went. Mm-hmm. And then you saw a group of senior citizens, probably about 90 years old, come in, and they look like 5-year-olds. And when you see that, you realize, okay, that's a nice thing that we did. We took them out of their zone, made them into little kids again. Really, that's what we see every day, whether you're from Iowa, you're from the suburbs, from the city, if you're from... One guy was skipping down the hallways, and I had to ask him, I'm Randy, I work here. What happened? And he's like, Randy, I'm from Ecuador. We don't even have hills this tall. And then you start to realize it's true. You realize a lot of us are in big buildings all the time. And the fact that maybe we went to the Sears Tower back then when we were kids and we haven't been back, it was up to us several years ago to change that experience and really kind of make it cool and continue to make it cool with different promotions.
Right.
Is it therapy for some people? Have you found that you've cured some people of some sort of fear?
You know, we see the only person we really see that probably doesn't enjoy it is the person whose friends drag them out and kind of like self-impose the therapy.
Right,
we're talking
exactly.
About. We've had a few folks call up within a short period of time, people to get rid of their fear of heights. They called in. It was coming in too frequently in a short period, and there was a doctor actually doing a referral. Send them to us. You know, we'll gladly do that. We'll help people get married up there, which, again, it's engagement season.
I was going to say, New Year's Eve is a Saturday night. How many people are getting married that night?
You know, what we know is we've helped with over 900 marriage proposals since we opened the Ledge in 2009. Those are the ones we know about. We don't know about the ones that just happen to do it. These are the ones people who call us to say, listen, can I have some flowers delivered ahead of time? There's a musician I'd like to have playing the song. And
so you'll let them do that?
We try to accommodate as much as we can. And that kind of goes back to we have something that we all know as kids, but what can we do to really make it great and make it personal? And that's the thing. We try to make the micro experience within the masses sometimes.
Sure.
And that's really where we've been excelling lately.
Well, there's people that live in Chicago or live in the suburbs that have never gone to the Willis Tower. We all see it. You've never been in the Willis Tower?
I haven't been on the ledge yet. I have not. I've been there before the ledge, but not... I haven't done the ledge.
Mary,
yet.
I got a guy.
I know. I got to go.
He can get you in.
I got to go. It's always the people who live right here that never go. Isn't that correct?
You're the hardest person to come to. Yeah. And what we're talking about here is, you know, what can you do in Chicago? Oh, I'll get there next time. I'm waiting for my Belgian relatives
to come in, and then I'll take them.
Yeah, so, you know, but it's funny because you'll go to, say, if you go to Cleveland, Columbus, any of the other places in the Midwest or other, you know you've got 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and you're going to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But in your own city, where we have so much to offer, you tend not to do too much.
And
it's a challenge.
Randy, people from the burbs need to know this. Number one, there's parking right across the street. You walk maybe 50 yards to the entrance.
Yep.
Okay.
Right across the street. You have the Metro trains right across. Union Station, Ogilvy Station are right there. Public transportation's a block
and
a half away.
It's easy. Even though it's the Willis Tower, you think, oh, it's going to be such a pain to get to. It's very simple.
And the building, when it was built in 1973, the design was to bring transportation to it, be close to the train stations. There was a stat I saw somewhere like 90% or something higher of the people that work in the building can actually take public transportation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, it is a very accessible place, and we're open every day of the year.
Even on Christmas?
Yes, and that's the part that blows people away is that
really?
With it being open Christmas Eve, New Year's, you know, last year we had several thousand people come on Christmas, and I think a lot of people run out of things to do with their family.
Yeah, or they want to get away.
Yes,
from
yes.
Their family.
Send the family, you know, where they need to go.
Right.
You have some other folks who don't celebrate on the Christmas, so it's kind of it's a day where, you know, it's really the city, whatever's open is.
Well, theaters are all open, you know, on Christmas Day,
yeah.
So why not?
And I looked at it. I wanted to be the human boss coming in. I really tried to figure out how to do it, and it just seemed like there were way too many people coming. So it's a very nice thing, and most people don't realize that we are open on Christmas.
Well, besides the sky deck, I mean, getting up there, there's so much history about Chicago as you wait in line to get to the entrance of the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Who came up with that idea?
You know, we worked with a firm to design a one-stop shop experience for Chicago, really give the best of the best. We try to do it in small bites, so we're not going to, you know, hit you like maybe a museum would with, you know, walls of curated exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small bites, interactive, keep moving, and you could take in, you could probably spend 30, 40 minutes down in every room, or you can work your way to the top to get to the elevators, which most people want to do.
How long does it take on the elevator?
60 seconds, one of the fastest in North America.
Is there an option if you don't want to take the elevator, if you want to take the stairs?
Jay Bennett!
We do it one day a year. It's SkyRise Chicago. We raised over $1 million for Rehab Institute of Chicago just down the street.
Just had it like a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
right?
We did it in November. The fastest climber did it in, I think, 13 minutes, 10 seconds, which is amazing.
13 minutes and 10 seconds!
The average bear is between 35 and 45 minutes. So it's that guy was moving.
Could you imagine?
That's really fast. No. It's like the firefighters that do that, and they whip up there, too.
This is the largest building in the Western Hemisphere. Is that right?
We are the tallest observation deck in the United States.
Okay.
One World Trade Center was given the award a couple years back. I think we probably could contest it based on antenna heights, but you know, we have the highest occupied floor and the highest observation deck, and we're very proud of that.
You go there every single day. Does it ever get old?
No, actually, I love it. And that's the thing that's great is that it's more than a job. It's because everybody looks at it. It's an icon. My cousin and I started working here. I spent 10 years at John Hancock Center. Nobody really said anything to me about it. I go to work at Willis Tower, at Sears Tower at the time, and my cousin comes up to me and goes, "Don't mess it up." I'm like, "What do you mean? You know, I didn't mess up anything." But there's a sense of civic pride with it. And I think you see that, and it's kind of neat being involved, being able to share it. And we had people from over 200 countries last year. We had every zip code in the area, every suburb.
I'm sure.
It was really neat, but we have to represent ourselves very well. We have to give a good memory. And it sounds cliche and it sounds corny, but it's kind of what you have as a Chicagoan. We have to share that so they tell everyone.
You are, man. People come to Chicago, they go to the Willis Tower. You got to leave a great impression. Don't blow it.
Yep, all that pressure right here on the shoulders. Now I'm great. Thanks, Pete.
What are we going to give away? Do we have a four-pack of tickets?
We have a family four-pack of fast passes, which is great. That'll get you up in the next three elevator runs when you show up.
Okay.
We also have a wonderful two-foot plush Willis Tower. Limited edition.
That is the coolest thing. It's like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Look at it. It's kind of...
That's nice.
We don't want it to lean, though, right? No, that's not a good idea.
312-981-7200. We'll set you up with VIP passes to the Willis Tower. They can use them anytime, especially over the holidays.
Good every day.
And the plush stuffed toy here. It's nice. Thanks. Randy Stanzik from Willis Tower in studio with us. 312-981-7200 at 720 WGN.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
720 WGN, 953. Randy Stanzik from the Willis Tower Skydeck Chicago in studio with us. You can go to theskydeck.com. How many people daily come through the Willis Tower Skydeck, would you say?
You know, we did about 3,200 people yesterday. You know, it'll probably be about a 4,200-person average. We're built for high capacity, so we move people pretty through quickly.
Okay.
Probably today will probably be around 2,500 to 3,000 people run through over a 10-hour shift.
What is it with people when they walk out on that ledge, they crawl out or they lay down?
You know, I think it started with one of the promotional pictures that we took that we didn't intend for. There was a little girl that was there opening day, and she laid down, and the pictures were taken. Pictures went around the world. We call it the Superman pose. You know, sometimes you have clouds rolling between you. You really don't know what it's like to fly. You know, you do only have an inch and a half thick of glass underneath you, but it's kind of that neat sensation of, wow, I don't have my legs to get off of it.
Right.
In my mind.
Yeah, they feel a little safer.
Yeah.
Being, I don't know.
Crawling
I would
out
feel like
in
you,
plexiglass
yeah.
110 stories
yeah.
up.
Yeah, sure. Anything. Anything at that point.
Or they lay down. I, 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 I was one of the people that crawled out. I crawled out my first time because I couldn't walk. It's scary.
It'll buckle your knees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had people that will do handstands, yoga poses. You know, it's a different sensation on your hands. They even tell me with heels on, it's a different feel as well.
Okay.
I'll have to trust them on that one.
Really?
But really kind of it's a neat thing. And it's, you know, it's a great visual. It's a great photograph, especially from ledge to ledge. The next ledge over is only a few feet away. So the person could be with a camera picking that person, laying on their belly, getting that pose. I received a couple Christmas cards this year. It had the ledge in there. I'm like, all right, this is all right.
That's nice.
But that's really part of what we're given with the experience.
And, you know, we keep talking about the ledge. How about the view up there?
It's
the
terrific.
Willis Tower.
It's terrific. And that's the thing. Before we had the ledge, over a million people came to see us every year. And you could see up to four states. 50 miles. We were picking Michigan up earlier today. It's beautiful. You've got, you know, everything's frosted. Everything's clear. This is a great time of year. It's really crisp. I know everybody thinks about coming here in the summertime, but it's really great to see, especially during the break when the kids are off, just to do something a little bit different than what you usually do.
Reasonably priced.
Correct. At $22 per person, $14 for a kid. We've kept it as affordable as we can.
I love it. Every time someone comes to town, I call you up. I'm like, Randy, I'm coming. I'm bringing him over.
Thanks, Pete. Keep him coming.
It's a great experience. And Pie in the Sky, you got a promotion going on right now?
Yeah, we thought about what could we do to kind of bring a private experience, you know, similar to what people do at the Character Breakfast at Disney or Breakfast with Shamu at SeaWorld. What can we do with our building? And we just came up with Pie in the Sky. We figure most people, when they come to Chicago, or Chicagoans, love a good Chicago pizza. We partnered with Giordano's for $100 per person. After hours, we'll give admissions up to the ledge. There will only be between 4 and 9 tables, so it's really nice. It's really kind of that. If we've all been invited to the parties at the museums after hours, that's kind of what we have on a nightly basis.
Okay.
You get a salad, dessert course, a Giordano-style pizza, and it makes the guy look really, really romantic. And I don't do anything.
Is there wine involved?
Not yet. We're working on that.
Yeah.
But
BYOB, Mayor. You can hide it in your purse.
I don't think you need any when
I
you're
won't
up
say
there.
Anything.
It would get a little more difficult standing on the ledge.
Mary, so, I'm glad you asked that.
Yes, thank you, Dave. Well, you get a lot of inebriated people on the ledge?
Not too bad. You know, we don't have a lot of places by us. If we were down in this area with all the different pubs, I think it would be a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned quickly. We put the tables on the ledge. Figured Pie in the Sky, dining on the ledge.
Right.
And we learned real quickly we had to move them back off the ledge. People like to go out on the ledge at their own leisure. They don't want to sit and
they don't
want to
eat
on
the
ledge.
So, yeah, it's just not the best thing. But it is it's really easy to pick up, too. This week, you know, if you give us a call, we can get a quick certificate over to you. It's kind of that last week of, shoot, I forgot so-and-so on my list, or I probably should go shopping now. Whatever the experience might be, we're ready to help with that. Simply reach out to us Monday through Friday this week.
TheSkyDeck.com. Randy, thanks for coming in, man. Merry Christmas.
Pete.
Good to see you,
pleasure,
buddy.
Pleasure, guys.
All right, it's 720 WGN.